Welcome to the Q Convos podcast.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the Q Convos podcast with the Initiative for Equal Rights. My name is Fidelia, and today I'll be talking with an awesome couple, Bibi and Kelly, about the safety and security of queer women and their own experiences living as queer women in Nigeria. Thank you so much, Bibi and Kelly, for joining me. I'm really happy to have you today.
Hi, I'm Kelly. I'm a content creator, a video editor, a YouTuber.
Okay.
And I'm a queer woman living in Nigeria openly.
Thank you. Awesome. Bibi?
Hi, my name is Bibi. I'm also a queer content creator in Nigeria. I'm a sociologist. I am a mental health advocate. And that's me.
Oh, awesome. Thank you so much. I'll just jump right into my line of questions. As queer women living in Nigeria, especially public-facing queer women who are content creators and you're out there, would you say that you feel safe living in Nigeria?
No, definitely not. For me, this is Bibi talking. I don't feel safe. We've spoke about this as partners as well, and we don't feel safe.
Yeah. Actually, don't. Even like where we live at the moment, we have to be careful, you know, as like content creators, like YouTubers, we have to be careful not to like give out our address to anybody, you understand, just so we are sure that we are safe, you
know? Right. Yeah.
So we just know that we are not, and we are trying to, we always have that safety. Like safety thing in mind always.
All right, that's always
before
like
we like
mind.
Yeah, before we go out, before we move from like a location to the next, we always have that in mind, that are we safe where we're going to and stuff like that. So
have you ever experienced harassment or assault or hate speech while being out together? Have you ever had any threats to your safety?
Yeah, we have actually, but mostly before we came out, before we're out and all that, we've actually had like a physical, like,
altercation with somebody,
with people. But now we haven't really, just mostly when people see us outside and they shout out our name, like the catchies, sometimes we're like scared, are they our fans or like, are they people that actually love us? Or are there people that don't? Because we get like a lot of hate comments. People actually come into our inbox and say whatever they have to say, and then they leave and stuff like that. So
yeah, like even like in, I remember, so before we started doing like creating content on YouTube, we were always kind of like out. So we would go out to, although we keep to ourselves, but we'll share a drink, we'll hold hands, we'll giggle, we'll laugh and everything. Things that kind of, you know, make up our relationship that we enjoy. So I just remember a particular situation where we were at a hotel in Warri, and one of the guys was like, a guy just came to the bar where we were having drinks or whatever. He tried to speak to us and we refused. So he couldn't understand why we would not give him attention, because obviously he's a man and he has his right. So if he speaks to you, you must speak back. But anyway, we didn't give him that attention. And then he started looking into us, asking questions on the reception, doing all those extra stuff. And then I don't know how, but eventually he found out that we're partners and we're together. And he just started threatening us. He's like, we can't come to, this happened in Delta State Warri.
Right.
So he's like, we can't come to Warri anymore, you know, because he's a wealthy person. So, you know, he called the police. He had armies on guard. Like, we can't go there anymore. We can't, he doesn't want to see us anyway. He sees us, he's going to kill us and everything. He proceeded for months, leaving us messages, threatened like to harm us. And it was just simply because we didn't give him that attention, and he figured out we're a couple. It was always kind of scary. And from that date to this point, we've never stepped foot in Delta State.
Yeah.
We just don't do it, because we don't know if it's something that was triggered by anger or toxic masculinity. He wants to kind of defend himself because the girl turned him down, or something he's actually going to do. And we really don't want to find out, to be honest. So we don't, like, that's it. Something that always sticks out to us when it comes
I'm
to safety.
I'm so sorry you went through that. That's a terrible experience.
We've had like same situation with like a hotel we checked into in Lagos. We checked into this hotel. We're there for about 2 days, you know, in the hotel. We would maybe like evening to go sit out at the bar, you know, just go up all, like do our business and stuff like that. And same thing that when you're a lady just sitting down having drinks, even if we don't just sit down and have drinks and look like friends, when you see us, you actually know that we're together. It's not like we go and start portraying and, you know, just act like we're together. But like this hotel, after we stayed there for 2 days, the third day we're supposed to, like, you know, that the rooms were fully booked. Like, they didn't want us to stay at the hotel anymore. And that's because we're quite, like, they saw that we're together and stuff like that. They actually kicked us out of those, like, that hotel.
The hotel in Fest that you're talking about, right?
Santiago.
Yeah. Are there like certain public spaces you avoid because of safety concerns or the possibility of, for example, what happened in Delta State happening?
All of them. So all of them. Like, we don't really go out. We kind of, before we go out, we have to kind of ask questions. Who's going to be there? What is the setting going to be like? Is there a situation where we're going to be harassed, abused, recognized? And all those things. And sometimes we even think about playing down our queerness so that way we're not kind of like sticking out, which kind of infringes on your mental health because like you're just kind of killing who you are to just, you know, perform heterosexuality when you're outside and then come back inside. So we do that every time, like even to yesterday, anytime we go anywhere, we try our best not to be, you know, not to seem like we're queer and stuff like that. Because the second that's the issue, you know, there's always harassment. There's always, you know, back talk. We always get kicked out of establishments. It's always something just for us just being who we are and not causing any trouble. That's the situation.
I think that's something that many queer women have had to learn how to do, essentially just censor themselves to fit into like the social norms. Mm-hmm. They have to alter their gender expressions, switch pronouns when talking about their partners, avoid being intimate publicly. How do you think this kind of self-censorship affects the well-being of queer women?
It's painful. It's something that we have to do in Nigeria. And it's also something that messes up, you know, your well-being in control. I remember specifically with me and Kelly, me living my whole life in Canada and then moving to Nigeria to be with my partner. And then there's some things that I don't recognize. There's some things that I forget. So there's no handbook that's given to you how to be queer in Nigeria. You kind of figure it out after you've been abused a couple of times. You're like, okay, this is how it's going to work out. So me coming into this space with my Canadian mentality, I was always trying to hold my partner's hands, always trying to, you know, feed her food, things that you do when you're in a relationship that you're enjoying yourself. Mm-hmm. And we try to do those things. But then Kelly being Nigerian and she grew up here and everything, she kind of knows how to maneuver better than me. So we had issues. We struggled because the first, when I used to come and visit and go back before I finally moved, we'll go out to public spaces and let me say we're having a beer or whatever. And I'm trying to, like, you know, feed her like maybe chicken or fish or whatever. And she kind of pulled back from me.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one specific situation where this happened and she pulled back and I tried to hold her hands and she pulled back. And I really got hurt because I'm like, what's going on? And I took it personal, forgetting where I am and how, you know, it is over here. Mm-hmm. So it kind of, when we got back home and now it's time for us to be us, I couldn't do anything. I couldn't, you know, perform as a partner. I couldn't hold hands. I didn't want to do those things because now, like, you're going from switching off to switching on to switching off. Yeah. It gets to a point you don't even know who you are anymore. It affects your mental health. It affects your everyday life because you're not even productive in anything you do. Just imagine sitting at work and you have to kind of go through your head and think about your day and how, okay, let me say after 5 o'clock, I'm going to meet up with my partner. We're going to have a beer. You have to kind of, you know, factor in, like, I'm not going to be able to show my partner that, you know, we have a relationship. I'm not able to hold hands. I'm not able to show my partner. I haven't seen you the whole day. Let me hug you. Like, all those things kind of messes with you. Then you just want to just be at home. Before you know, you're sinking into depression, anxiety is kicking in, and basically, you're just kind of dwindling your life down just to be able to fit into the society. It's really ridiculous at the end of the day, honestly. It's hurtful.
I actually remember then, when we go out, I'll find it really difficult to, like, just, you know, be myself. Because being myself will mean that when baby's trying to feed me, I'll just, you know, let her feed me without thinking so much. It's not like, when, let's say baby's trying to feed me now and then I'm trying to back away. Sometimes I don't even know I'm doing it. I'm right. subconsciously doing it. Like, I'm so used to being so scared of being who I am that there are just so like little things that babe want to do like with me and I get so scared. Like,
yeah, I think I remember having a similar conversation where it's like even things that are not necessarily intimate that you would ordinarily or heterosexual women would ordinarily do with their female friends outside. Just being queer and having that paranoia in your head just doesn't allow you to do anything without the fear. And I think that's a very terrible way to have to live. So clearly, Nigeria doesn't even care about the safety of queer women. What are things that you both have, you both do regularly to ensure your safety and your security?
We always carry, like, we'll call it get out money. So anywhere we are, we always know that we have enough cash to be able to get out of that situation at every point. In the sense that, okay, let me say we're in a hotel, we always carry extra money in case they kick us out, we can be able to afford, because they're not going to kick you out and give you a refund, no. So we'll be able to afford a different hotel that night. You know, if we're in a situation, we're able to kind of maneuver. So we're always carrying extra cash in any situation. We always have like an exit plan. Okay, if my phone dies or you can't find me or whatever, we'll meet up at home at this point. If you don't see me at home, then know something is wrong. Look for me here. Yeah. And those conversations are actually very difficult to have. Like, it's very, very difficult. It's like every day you're planning to go out, but you're expecting to die. You know what I mean? So it's difficult to have, but we kind of put safety measures in place to make sure we're okay at every point. Like when we're driving, we'll have our phone tucked out. Since we're content creators, we always have a way of, like, you know, trying to hide our content on our laptop and our phone and everything in case we get pulled over by the police. We're not even scared of, you know, civilians anymore, and we're scared of the police. Like any situation. I remember anytime we pull up to like a checkpoint or whatever, everybody's scared of being pulled off. Like, okay, you're breaking curfew, something. We're scared, oh my God, they're going to go through our phone and say we're gay.
Yeah.
So, you know, all those kind of measures, we're hiding our phones, we have passwords, we have hidden, you know, just drop boxes where we have to protect our content so that way it's not seen right away. Before they recognize us, at least they don't go through our phone and see those things. So we put those little checks in place so that way we're always safe, although it doesn't really help, but at least we have something to make us feel like we're doing something, you know?
Yeah. So even the police that are supposed to be offering protection to citizens are the ones that we're most scared of. Like, are there even any existing levels of protection for queer women in Nigeria from the Nigerian government or from police? Like, queer women who are in abusive situations, can they safely escape abuse with the help of law enforcement, do you think?
No. Baby, remember what happened in the hotel last week? I don't even want to tell the story with the guy. I was staying in the hotel and also we're in the hotel last week and, you know, some guy was trying to talk to me and I didn't give him my number. So he found a way to bribe. So he found a way to bribe the receptionist or whatever. And he got my number and my private number. And he called me and he's like, oh, I'm the one that saw you at breakfast and I'm trying to talk to you. You're not talking to me, da, da, da. And right away I panicked and I you know, I started freaking out. Me and babe grabbed all our things. We packed up our bags and it was go time, you know. And when I tried to contact the management and everything, I got a hold of them. You know, I wanted to call the police because that was an infringement of my personal space, my personal property. But I just remembered, like, just bawling and crying because I'm like, if I call the police and the police shows up here, the first thing they're going to ask me is, the man is not talking to you, why not? And then they're going to figure out I'm queer. And then it's going to be, I'm going to get arrested, not even because the guy did something. And I was just like crying. And I was just so sad because I knew I could not go to the police if I'm being abused whatsoever. I can't go to the police. I'd rather like deal with it myself and you know, or just kind of swallow it, which was what a lot of queer women do in Nigeria. When you go through an abusive situation, you kind of walk away from it. Even though you're the victim, you just walk away because if you get the police involved, you're going to get in bigger trouble than you were when you started. So the police is not your friend at any point. They don't care for queer women. And if you at any point show up to them and complain about something, you're being arrested for being queer in the first place. So what do you do?
Can we talk about the women's rights movement in Nigeria? There's a lot of NGOs and organizations and groups that are set up to protect the rights of women and to advocate for women, to support women who are in abusive situations or who are going through harassment. But the big question is, do you think that those organizations or groups are sufficiently inclusive of queer women and their unique experiences and needs?
No, they're not. Let's be honest. We have to understand that the human rights movement in Nigeria, especially, and then the women's rights movement as well, is always intertwined with religion. And once that's the case, it just kind of segregates a bunch of people, like the LGBTQ plus I, you know, community, yeah, for one. I can give you an example of what happened during the NSARS movement. All of a sudden, queer people were like, you know, in the, you know, the foreye of what's going on, and everybody's talking about it. And then Feminist Co decided to make a tweet to say, okay, yeah, they're allies with us. And then when it got in the hot water for it, everybody's like, ah, this is not becoming a gay thing, da da da. Feminist Co retracted their statement.
Yeah.
So that kind of, when that happened, that bothered me hugely, because I'm like, okay, so everybody's rights matters except our rights. Like, we're all fighting for the same thing, but when it comes to us, we can't fight for us. So that kind of shows me, you know, where that lies. And I've met a lot of, you know, women rights activists in Nigeria that, yeah, always come back to God and come back to religion. And it really bothers me. It really, really does bother me, because it's like they're fighting for everything else but the queer woman.
Yeah.
You know, I can even talk about, I don't even want to go too deep into it, but Aisha, I'm just going to use her first name because I don't really care to talk about her. But if you see how she fights and everybody's supporting and everything, oh my gosh, she's a powerful Muslim woman fighting for rights. But then her agenda against, you know, the queer woman, the queer people in Nigeria is hugely there, and everybody ignores, yeah, that fact. Yeah. So it kind of showcases the fact. Yeah. So it highlights to me that it doesn't, the fight is not for the queer woman, it's for women that fall under the umbrella of, in quotation, God's women. But anything else that falls out of that, it doesn't matter. They don't work on that at all.
So it's equal rights for women, but only some kind of women, not all kinds,
yes,
of women. What do you think needs to change for the movement to be more inclusive of queer women? What do you think needs to happen?
I believe, honestly, there are laws that need to be put in place to kind of honor human rights, because right, we are all humans, and our rights do matter. It doesn't matter how you present, how you are, who you are. As far as you're a human being, your rights should matter. So let's start from that. I know we're talking right now about the repeal. I don't know, yeah, if Nigeria is even listening, of the Prohibition Act that was put, yeah, in place, that, yes, that infringes on our rights as well. So that needs to be taken care of right away. And then I believe that the authorities in place, the government governing bodies, need to address the fact that, you know, queer people, queer women are dying every day. They're being abused, they're being killed, and that is not okay. So they need to speak up for our rights as humans as well, that, you know, abuse against us and hurting us is not okay, because I've never seen a police officer speak on this issue at all. Anytime that we're being abused as, you know, queer people, nobody recognizes, nobody talks about it. It's just gossip and it goes away. So that needs to come to the fore, because we are Nigerians as well and we need, yeah, to be protected. Okay. And then once that is in place, we, as queer people, we need to be supported. You know, funding needs to be given to organizations and allies to make sure that people are getting, you know, mental health treatments, because we've been abused for so long that we actually need help at this point.
Yeah.
You know, so we need some kind of help, some kind of support, and facilities that are put in place to support us needs to be funded, not, you know, ridiculed, not brought down, not finding ways to kind of close down those systems. Because anybody that is allied, that have showed that they're allies with us, they're always getting hot water. So those things need to stop for us to be able to kind of heal and start looking for what the next chapter is. Because right now, I think we're so deep down in the gutter that for us to get out, things need to start changing right away.
Thank you so much, Bibi, for that. That's very brilliant. And you're right, there needs to be change, like, all around. It's not just in one aspect. Thank you so much for joining us. And I really enjoyed this conversation. It was really enlightening, and you brought a very awesome perspective to the conversation, and I'm really grateful you joined us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, folks, for listening to this episode of Q Convos. I hope you enjoyed it and I hope you learned something. If you or anybody you know is experiencing violence as a result of your sexual orientation, gender identity or gender expression or sex characteristics, please reach out to the Initiative for Equal Rights by visiting the Initiative for Equal Rights.org, or reach out to us on our social media platforms at Tears Nigeria. That is T-I-E-R-S Nigeria. Until the next episode, this is Q Convo's podcast by the Initiative for Equal Rights, and my name is Fidelia. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Q Convo's podcast, brought to you by the Initiative for Equal Rights, produced by 808 Extra. Kindly visit www.theinitiativeforequalrights.org to learn more.